All right. Well, let's pray.
Lord, we say it over and over again, but from our hearts, we rely on you. We love you. We depend on you, and you are our everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we start a new series today, and I really believe that this is a turning point for us, individually and as a body. So, I don't know if I can give a little extra emphasis to really follow through, to be open to what God would teach you as we go through this. Let's start with Luke 18:1. We've got a lot of verses to look up, so it'll keep your fingers warm anyway. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Before we get into that, something that encourages me is that I know that you will respond to this. As I was studying this, as I was thinking about this, for this, for what God has for us as a body, I was just confident that people will deal with this issue. I have that confidence that each of you will do this and that we will become a praying church. And I believe that to be true. And yes, will that involve some frustration along the way? Yes, it will. But like this verse says, do not lose heart. As you respond to what God is calling you to, if sometime, as we're talking about prayer, if you have a desire to pray, and if you will respond to that desire, no matter how small that desire is, your passion for God, your passion for communication with Him will grow. You will respond. Now, as we go deeper into this topic of prayer, there are times when I may challenge you with some stuff that is beyond you about prayer. Is one of those things that just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And it can be extremely challenging when you hear of some people's prayer life and what it's like. But please do not let that discourage you. Prayer is like other things. You know, when we first, if you remember, when we first dealt with what I call the identification truths of being identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, with dying to self, with surrendering, with Jesus being seen in you. When you first hear those truths, you may hear something taught about that. And you think, oh, okay, I got it. I understand that. And you go home and it's like, no change. What happened? That particular truth can take years to implement once you understand it. It's just, this is what I've seen. So, there is the truth that you need to understand. There's the time factor that you need to be patient with. And there's the growth factor. But this is not, by any means, of course, I would never give you an excuse. So this is not about an excuse to not grow immediately in what we're talking about. But consistency and maturity can, and it does take time. But be careful how you mature and how you age. Do not put off prayer until you are obedient. Do not put off prayer until you're obedient. Believe it or not, we tend to do this. We tend to put off really, really praying until we get our life in order. But that's kind of like, we just talked about the family, that's like a teenager saying to himself, you know, I'm just going to break away from the family. I'm going to distance myself from the family. I'm going to get my life in order, and then I'm going to ease back into the family. Does that make sense? That does not make sense. Because they're out there on their own trying to do it, and they will never do it. So we, in the same way in our relationship with the Father, we do not wait until we get everything together to really begin to pray and really get a handle on this. My desire for this series is that it will drive you to God. That it literally will drive you and push you to God. And I promise you this. He desires you to come closer. He desires you to come closer, and He will meet you. He will meet you with open arms. If you will move towards God, He will move towards you. The Bible promises us that. So, this is not just about prayer, as you can tell. I really want this to move you to God, towards God, to a closer, more intimate relationship with Him. Now, prayer, I've taught about prayer a lot, and this is one of my passions. But I tried to eliminate some of the mistakes I've made in the past. That introduction we just had was to try to eliminate some of the mistakes I've made in the past. Sometimes I've jumped in with both feet. I've thrown down these challenges that the way George Mueller used to pray and the way Hudson Taylor prayed. And it's like people are sitting there going, man, I don't even have quiet time regularly. So I want to avoid discouraging you. And there's a foundational thing about prayer that sometimes I think that I have missed. Prayer is first about a relationship. Now by that, I do not mean, okay, you have to have a relationship with God so you can pray. No. Prayer itself is a relationship. It is relational. It is a relationship. Now, you know, we're going to look at some verses that speak of God the Father as Father. Now, that is just, what that is a relational term that we can relate to. It's something we have some feel for, something we understand in our earthly experience. That's all it describes. So, some of you may have there may be a hurdle for some of you to get over. Maybe your relationship with your father had some really negative things in it, and that you have to get over that hurdle. Well, it is a hurdle you must get over, because every father-child relationship has some problems. None of them are perfect. There are some hurdles, small or large, that everybody has to get over. So we get our picture of father. It's great if we had a good father to look to, and we want to do that as fathers. But if you did not have that, you need to go to the Scripture to get a view of what. And we just went through that, so you should have some picture of that. So let's quickly, we'll look at some verses here. We have quite a few of them, but so let's get a feel for this. This thing about prayer being relational and the kind of relationship that we're talking about. Let's go to Isaiah 64. 8 and 9. Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of Your hand. We won't read the next one. Let's go on to Isaiah 63:16. But You are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledges, You, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is Your name. And then let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. And Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? And Romans 8:15. This is called the barrage method. What it does, it gives you a flavor. You just read that. You read it enough, you see, wow, this is talked about a lot. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. Now that word, Abba, I'm sure you've heard this before, but that's an Aramaic term in the language of the disciples, probably the language of Jesus. That is the closest thing in English would be daddy. It's a term of endearment, of tenderness, that a small child would call their father. Let's go to Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Over and over and over again, we see this terminology used. And then we see the example of Jesus. Jesus, who was equal to the Father, who was one with the Father, the way He approached God the Father was in this way. Abba, Father, Father, Father in heaven. And just as Jesus approached the Father in this tenderness, in this oneness, in this unity, in this openness, freedom, closeness, intimacy, in this same way that Jesus approached the Father, we too are instructed to come to the Father. Let's go to Hebrews 10:19-23. You need to let these verses sink in as we read through this. These are powerful. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and have our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. All of the Old Testament, all finally leading up to the birth of Jesus, God become a man, God with us, to the life of Jesus, to the death of Jesus, to His resurrection. What a price was paid by the triune God to open the way for a relationship that is like no other relationship available. And us, with our limited language, with our human language, God gives us some words that we can use, but really, our language is lacking in understanding the depth and the width and the breadth of what we have with God, of the relationship that we have. Now, it is critical to get this foundation, this foundational aspect of prayer, before we move on to other aspects of prayer. You know, stuff like discipline and intercession and faith. We must personally get this down. I can't teach it to you. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to give us this understanding of relationship with God. Now, people get discouraged in prayer if they don't remember this bedrock truth. If they don't remember that prayer is primarily relationship. All of the Old Testament, all of this happened so that we could be reconciled to God. So we could have relationship with God. And if we separate prayer out from that, if we think of it separately, then we're making a mistake. If we forget this, you'll start hearing things like, I have no discipline. I have no desire to pray. I have no fruit in prayer. Why should I pray anyway? I'm a failure in this. I can't do it. Prayer is first about a relationship. It's not about something we do. It's not about an act. In 1 John 5:3 and other places, the Word tells us that if we love Him, we will obey Him. So what is our natural response to that? Our natural response to that is, well, I'm going to prove my love for God. I'm going to go out and obey Him. I'm going to live for Him. No. That's not what that's saying at all. Really, it's saying that if you are in a praying Abba, daddy, intimate type, ongoing relationship with God, then obedience will flow out of you. I know that we know that in our minds. But what I'm asking is that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to teach us that in our hearts. Now, this is why if someone is all in, I've had non-Christians even. Somebody talks about prayer all the time. They're always talking about prayer. But obedience and fruit is not there. If that's the case, then they're not praying. If they can talk about it all they want, they can spend as much time saying they're talking to God. But if obedience and fruit is not there, then they're not praying. There's not that love relationship going on. Now, so what are they doing? Who are they talking to? You know, I think a lot of it is self-talk. Talking to self and calling it God. And, you know, self-talk is helpful. There's nothing wrong with it. It works. It's, you know, you get out of the car at Walmart and you lock your keys in the car and you go, calm down. There's people watching. If I lose it, everybody's going to see. I'm just going to get my cell phone and make... I left my cell phone in the car. Okay, hold it together. Hold it together. Don't get... Do you have a spare key? You know, you ever talk to yourself like that? You know, you're about to shoot a free throw. Come on, you can do this. You can get it. You can do it. Doesn't work with me, but I'm sure it does with somebody. This kind of self-talk is probably a good thing. It's probably a helpful thing at times. But it is not prayer. The relationship of prayer. Somehow, if we can think prayer is relational to God. And that relationship of prayer is key to all other relationships. In all other interactions. If we are consistently going to God in prayer, real prayer, He meets our deeper longings and we don't have to look to people to give us what they can't give us anyway. And then we really know how to love people if we're loving God appropriately. And if you are not praying, if you are not praying, and I, you know, as I was studying this, as I wrote that down, I made myself a note there that I asked the Holy Spirit to prick your heart. When I say that, if you are not praying, to say, I'm not praying. I'm not really praying. I asked the Holy Spirit to just convict you of that. Then what are you saying? If you're not praying, then what are you saying about God reaching out to you? About the cross? About the joy of relationship with God? The joy of the heart of the Christian life? Because if you are not praying, then you are keeping God Almighty, who orchestrated all of history to make it possible for you to have a relationship, prayer, with Him. And if you're keeping Him at arm's length with this, I don't know, maybe you can get a picture in your mind of your puny little thing holding God back. You know, I don't have time for this. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm too busy for this. And you have the Creator of the universe who made everything, who is holy beyond our imagination. Omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient God. And we are there. He orchestrated all of history to provide for you prayer. That's what it is. It is a reconciled relationship to God. Yet if we are not praying, this is what we are doing. You know, I wanted to deal with this. I couldn't decide where to fit this in, but so I'll just do it in our introduction this first time. Because there's a question that is in the back of people's minds sometimes. And I think if somebody, people that ask this question are generally thinking people. People that just think through things. And that is, if God is sovereign, why should I pray? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever heard that? If God is sovereign, why should I pray? Now, I think we answered that question this morning already. It's looking at prayer differently. Prayer is a relationship. It's not about what we can get from God. It's a relationship. But I do want to answer that question. We'll deal with it briefly. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 37. Actually, this question will be answered gradually all through our study. Because there are many reasons to pray. Okay. This is obviously dealing with the Israelites. And there's an attack imminent. They don't stand a chance. And they have turned to God to ask for help. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. And he goes on to tell what's going to happen to these Assyrians because Hezekiah turned to God and asked God, help me. Help me, God. We need you. We need you to rescue us. We are desperate. We are desperate. When they turn to God, God says, because you did this, because you prayed, I'm going to wipe them out. Now, something strange here is you go down to verse 26 and see what it says. Right out beside, if you take notes in your Bible, right out beside verse 21 and 22, man's responsibility. You can just write it right out there. In verse 26, it says, God talking, have you not heard? Long ago, I adorned it. Long ago, have you not heard? I ordained it. In the days of old, I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass. That is God's sovereignty. Do you see the conflict there? God says on one hand, I did it because you asked me. He says on the other hand, I had it planned from eternity past. This is what I was going to do. This was my will. You prayed for my will. I did it. God's sovereignty. I think most of you heard the term for that antinomy, that you have two truths side by side that appear to conflict. But God moved and did what He desired to do in response to the prayers of the people. He did. That's what it says. Some people that use this excuse of God is sovereign, He's going to do it, why pray? Now, these same people, they look when they cross the street. Well, if God's sovereign, why watch? If you're going to die, you're going to die. Why brush your teeth? You're going to get cavities. If you're going to get a cavity, you're going to get a cavity. Man's responsibility? God's sovereignty. You know, the Islam religion, they have a warped view on God's sovereignty. You go to an Islamic country, and people step out in the street all the time without watching. I'm serious. Don't they cross? You got to be alert if you're driving. Because people, it's not as hardcore in Turkey, but they just watch a little bit. You know, they don't really watch closely, and people are driving crazy, but people are stepping out in the street, they're just walking out, there's crazy stuff. But we have man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. Don't be pulled, both are true, don't be pulled into the pendulum swing. There are many other verses that address this issue. But we'll leave it for now. Conclusion. What drives you to pray? What? Is there anything that drives you to pray? Is it a sick child? Is it a bad marriage? Is it no marriage? Is it your job situation? Is it dissatisfaction? Is it watching brothers and sisters struggle? Is it family members that don't know the Lord? Is it the Great Commission? I hope that's some of it. I hope it's the Great Commission. God will use those things And He'll even give those things to you to drive you to pray. And He will withhold things from you to drive you to pray. You see, God wants, He's not like He's there lonesome and He needs you. But God desires, He made you for this purpose of fellowship, intimacy, relationship, prayer with Him. So by running to Him in prayer, by resting in Him, by believing Him, that's what He desires us to do. Now, we tend to try to fix things rather than turn to Him. Is something not right? Are we not getting as many people as we'd like to come on Sunday morning? Well, let's fix it. Just fix it. No. Let's run to God. Let's turn to God. Let's ask Him. Let's seek His power. Does He withhold to drive us, to make us a praying church? Well, I think it's a possibility. I think it's a possibility. I will try to describe this. It is resting on the faithful one. It is rest. That is prayer. Resting in the faithful one. Let that sink in. What is your desire? What is your desire that's driving you to Him? What is your desire that you just have or running around with? What is your desire? Is it His will? Is it according to Scripture? Then rest in Him. Believe Him for it. This is the prayer life. It's a life of resting in Him. It's peace. It's joy. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith. By faith. Prayer is resting in God. It's trusting Him. You know, if my dad sends me down to the Walmart, I've used Walmart twice here today, to pick something up and give me his credit card to do it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's small or if it's large, if it's expensive or if it's cheap. He's given me the resources. The resources are there to get what He's told me to get. Whatever situation that you are in, whatever your desire is from God, the resources are there. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. If you have more need, then there's more grace. There's more resting in Him. If you're resting in Him, it doesn't matter what the situation is. He can be counted on. He has the resources. As you go to Him and submit to Him, He will answer your prayer. He will answer your prayer. And we'll meet with you. Now it may be a different answer than we expect, which is assuring, because I will pray for things sometimes and I'll have the details all planned out and prayed out. But looking back in hindsight, I say, oh, okay, God answered that prayer. But He worked it out from His view and He saw things clearer than I did. But He answered that prayer. And He will. We pray according to Scripture in His will, resting in Him, He will answer the prayer. Sometimes He swings the prison doors open and we can leave. Sometimes the doors stay shut and He gives us the grace to carry on. He gives us the strength to stay. But as we go to God, as we go to Him, resting in Him, trusting in Him, praying, He has a way of aligning our desires with His through prayer. There's so many things intertwined in this. There is accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish as individuals, as a body. There is our own personal desire for intimacy with God. And I hope that's where we're headed with this. I believe that we are. Let's, Ange, if you'll do our closing song. All those verses that you have listed on the conclusion, you don't have to turn to those verses. I'm just going to read you at least a portion of those verses. And so I just want you to, you can close your eyes. You can think about this. If you want to go back later and look these verses up, then you can do that. But if God is dealing with you on prayer, on are you a praying person? If God is dealing with you on becoming a praying person, tell God about your desire. That's prayer. You tell Him about your desire. You tell Him you want more desire. This is what it's about. God, you know, if I was, you think about a father and a son doing a project together, you know, is the point getting the job done? You know, you have a little 4 or 5 year old boy with his father, and they're doing some project out in the garage. You know, and the father's just enjoying it. The son's enjoying it. Do you think it's the father's point to get the job done? Or is he enjoying the process? Is he letting the son do and helping him and spending time with him? You know what God has called us to do, He could do without us in a second. He could snap His fingers. He could, theoretically speaking, He could do it. But He has chosen to move the world through prayer. It's our project with God. We're co-laborers with Him. We're 5 years old. You know, we can't change the oil. We can't build anything, but He can. And we can do it with Him. And He does it through prayer. That's how He does it. If we're not praying, I don't care what it looks like we're doing, what it appears, if we're not praying, we're not doing what He wants us to do. So I'm going to read these verses in advance place. And then we'll finish the song, I presume. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Be faithful in prayer. Pray continually. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Until now, you have not asked anything. You have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.